Good morning. Talofa lava. Talofa lava. Good morning. Buenos días. Oh, that's better. You're more comfortable in Spanish than you are in some of the other languages. Friends and neighbors, Dr. Taylor, your admonition for people to be here in spite of the fact that you're not in the pulpit seems not to have been heeded. I wonder what happens when you do preach. It is an incredible privilege to be here this morning to worship in this historic church, a sacred place, now known as the Church of the Holy Crack in the Wall, previously known as Old South. You're very close to my heart, this church is, because you're the product of a revolution. You revolted against First and Second Church, or just First Church? First. I love revolutionists. So that feels really good. You need to know that the great prophecy and mission and ministry that this church does and has done with past leadership and with your current staff team is renowned throughout the country and stands as a model for all of our churches. But what impresses me more than anything is that in your, I counted 341 years, is that correct or not? Mathematicians, go to work. That in your 341 years of faithful ministry and mission, you have had only 19 pastors. Unbelievable. In our conference in Oregon, we have some churches that have had 19 pastors in 10 years. And Dr. Taylor, as I would expect, you are the first non-male pastor of this sacred church. Please know that she is our gift from the Central Pacific Conference of the United Church of Christ to you. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm ready for some cupcakes. What an incredible symbol to make cupcakes and not war. I love that. But I love cupcakes even more. So I expect as part of your gift to me in leave-taking from Boston is to be given about 10 dozen cupcakes to take home with me so that our people can learn that message. The sermon officially starts right now. So timekeepers, now you can press the clock and you can now complain if I go over the 7.5 minutes allotted to me. I will raise some questions throughout my sharing with you. They will not be rhetorical. They expect answers from you. And I want to know, all those who will be my amen chorus, raise your hands. Amen. That's incredible. Who said you were stale and laid back? Wonderful. I am not used to preaching without people responding to me, either with amens or keep trying, Hector, you haven't quite done it yet. I respond in either case. The writer of the first letter of John tells us that from the beginning we should love one another. Amen. The book was intended to diffuse the erroneous teachings of some Christian leaders at that time who were rejecting Jesus' relationship to God and even the message of love as the paradigm of God's abiding love. Can you believe that? Rhetorical question. R-H-E. All right. It is hard to conceive of a time in early Christianity when the concept of God's abiding love overflowing the people was not accepted. So the writer did not want to risk losing that powerful aspect of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So the writer chose to say that we know this love by the very act of Jesus laying down his life for us. And we just came out of the Easter season celebrating that fact. And so it is through the abiding love that our mothers and fathers and families and friends share with us that we know not only their love, but the love of God and the love of Christ. Let us focus on this abiding love of God, which abides and resides in all of us. It is the act of Jesus giving his life for us. It teaches us the extent to which our love for others will flow. We too are thoroughly expected to lay down our lives for the other. But we are not meant to give our lives in war. We are meant to give our lives in love for the sake of peace. And you all have ancestors and people living today who literally have given their lives in the pursuit of peace. That is what abiding love means. If the abiding love of God resides in each one of us, it is a contradiction to think that that love would allow us to lay a hand on another human being in enmity. It's a contradiction which is just hard to believe. So we know love by this, that Jesus laid down his life for us. Love is what marks us as creatures of God, and we do what is pleasing to God. And that is the message of today. That's a sermon. It's a sermon. Now, let's chat. Let's talk with each other. Mother's Day, Dr. Taylor, gave a wonderful expression of what this day is and all of the nuances and challenges of that day. And I want to sort of iterate that by suggesting to you that many of us have a lot of problems coming into this day. We have a lot of problems. Mother is not necessarily looked on as that abiding love of Christ. I have two adopted children, 17 and 20 years old, and unfortunately, they look at their birth mother with fear and temerity. They do not like their birth mothers. So, that's a reality. Some of us can never be mothers. Right, men? At least, not yet. And this is either by choice or because it just doesn't happen. And so, sometimes Mother's Day causes problems for that. And men, those of us who are fathers, you know, Father's Day usually, I don't know about your tradition here in Old South, is not celebrated with the same enthusiasm as Mother's Day. So we feel envious and jealous. Amen. And we reluctantly give flowers to our spouses or whatever. But nevertheless, there are different aspects of motherhood. There's a biological mother which has to be honored because they're the ones who gestate the child. There's a social mother, the person who socializes, helps the children grow and develop in the context of community. And then there's a spiritual mother, the person who breathes God's spirit upon our children. And although the same person may be all three, this is not always necessarily the case. How many adoptive parents do we have here? We love our children with the same passion and compassion and commitment as any birth parent would ever have. We know what it means to lay our lives down for our adopted kids. And you who have birth families know the same reality. And I believe that it takes more than a little village to raise a child. It takes a huge community and an incredible church to be able to grow a child. You saw that demonstrated with these three beautiful children. I am so glad you chose to baptize your kids today. I know you did it because I was coming. What an honor it is to see them embark on the journey of faith, surrounded by this community who's going to love them, support you, and help you raise your kids. They will be powerful in the faith as a result of that. And through all this, mom's love endures. Do you remember, those of you who have a better memory than I, when you were children, or maybe some of your children partake of this now, when monsters and ogres ruled the night, how scared you were in that bedroom with the lights off, hearing the noises under the bed, some noise from the closet. You were scared out of your britches. Do people still wear britches? Well, whom did you call out for when you were so terrified and almost could not speak? My kids, at night in their scariest of moments, come running into our bedroom. And I see them coming, and so I reach out my arms to them, and they go right by me and go to their mother. I'm the one who spoiled them rotten. I'm the one who, yes, 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 their mother is a proponent of tough love. You know, they'll learn the hard way. And where do they go? It's heartbreaking. I remember my mother. I remember her incredible determination to ensure our care and safety. I remember what she would do to ensure our safety. Well, we all share one thing in common. Would all those of you who were born of a mother please raise your hand? 85% of you were. The other 15%, I don't know. We do share that experience. And in a way, Mother's Day is really about that. It's really about that. Who was not born the image of God through the womb of our birth mothers? Who was not born intended to be this baby receptacle of the abiding love of God? Those children already have that love within them. All of us cherish that memory, and we should, of birth mothers, no matter what happened after that. Those of us who had dysfunctional mothers, unable to succeed as loving parents, undeniably still gave birth to their children, and they should be placed in the hands of God, forgiven, and thanked for at least providing the passageway into life. Mothers are the first ones who touch their babies 9 months. 9 months, and then as soon as the baby, what's the word for coming out of the womb, pops out, immediately the mother surrounds them with affection. Dr. Thurman, Howard Thurman, says, and many studies have since demonstrated, that there is an intense necessity for babies and young children to be held and have affection poured over them. In fact, babies will not thrive and will eventually become dysfunctional or die without the touch of love and affection. And through all this, mom's love endures. Well, we celebrate our mothers, everyone who was born of a mother. We commemorate this day. We celebrate the mystery of why creation chose mothers to be mothers, a carrier of humanity, at least until now. Technology being what it is, who knows? Who knows? And wasn't there a case of a man giving birth to a child not too long ago? God forbid if that becomes our future too. Well, men, we thank God that God so chose, don't we? Oh, you're not quite ready to affirm that. Well, I hope you don't ever have to suffer that reality. We celebrate all those who love and teach social interaction to our children. We celebrate all those who breathe God's Spirit upon our children. We celebrate that through the centuries, many women and many men have learned how to nurture, love, and teach and breathe the Spirit into our children. And in fact, in the last several decades, if not century, more and more men have come to share the gift of mothering. In fact, many fathers alone with children have gotten it. I can remember when my 17-year-old daughter was about 12, and she came upon growth crisis. Her mother was not home. She was in Cleveland doing church business. She came to me in the middle of the night saying, "Dad, something's happening." And I said, "Oh, God, have mercy on my soul. What do I do now?" I was going to get on the phone and call her mother. It was 3:00 in the morning, so that might not have. So I just said, "Daughter, this is an exciting moment. This is when you go from girlhood into womanhood. We should be celebrating. It's a happy occasion. And by the way, don't you have something in the bathroom that might take care of the problem?" So she went and did that, and she was calm and at peace with herself. And I was just thanking God that I was able to do that piece of what I thought was just a mother's responsibility for my daughter. So I'm the one who welcomed her into womanhood. And I thank God for that, and I know many men might have had the same experience. We understand that we look at those mothers who are mothers also the appropriate receptors of this celebration. But we also are cognizant that the day is meant to celebrate the fact that all of us were born of mothers, and so we celebrate this creation story. And through all this, God's love abides and mom's love endures. The experience of being brought into the world by our mothers provides us the knowledge that the abiding love is our gift from God through our mothers. It enhances our understanding of the longing for affection and embrace. It teaches us to act in our love for others. It is through the act of childbirth that we know the abiding love of our parents and therefore of God. And it is this very action that allows us to know that if we truly believe we have the abiding love of God and of Christ in us, it is impossible to make war. It is impossible. Not only while we're baking cupcakes, but while we're doing any other aspect of our lives, this abiding love within us does not allow us to consider any human being as enemy, to the point that we declare war on them. Make cupcakes, not war. The original reason for Mother's Day, as you heard from Dr. Taylor, what's the name of the writer of The Battle Hymn of the Republic? Julia Ward Howe and Anna Jarvis and her daughter were the ones who took the responsibility of celebrating Mother's Day as a day of peace, as a day of healing. This was immediately after the Civil War, and they had seen the incredible damage that had been caused by that war, and they wanted war no more. They wanted peace. And so they began the idea of celebrating Mother's Day as a way of making peace. So we're very thankful for that history. So today really is no more special than yesterday or tomorrow, but we do make it special by proclaiming this day as our day to embrace God's emphatic decision to have mothers be the procreators of humanity. Today we choose to acknowledge that there is a unique relationship between child and mother. 9 months of partnership during the birthing span creates a special bond and a special history. And men, if we could only remember the conversations within the womb, our lives would be drastically changed and enhanced. Women, the same goes for you. Same goes for you. Something happens to us in that relationship. And in fact, new documentation shows that even children who have gone through that period of birthing create such a bond that if they're removed from the mother, those children will also suffer the consequences of abandonment because of the relationship built during those 9 months. So it's an uncanny, incredible miracle that is created by that experience. So we honor that, that no matter what happens after birthing, that incredible time when God's abiding love flows through the blood of the mother into the blood of the child. I think it's an incredible thing to celebrate, don't you? I think it's an incredible thing to celebrate, don't you? Oh my gosh, you forget so quickly. As a father, I have learned hugely from my beloved wife and partner, who is also my pastor. We don't always agree on parenting, and in fact, most of the time, I fully believe that I am the one who has all the correct information about that. Yet deep within me, my soul and spirit whispered to me, not so gently, listen to her. Her wisdom comes from lessons learned in the womb. You may have forgotten them, but she has not. And through all this, God's love abides, and mom's love endures. All people can be mothers to our children. Nevertheless, the miraculous experience of mothering comes from all those mothers who creation determined would be the first to nurture humanity. You have heard that this love that abides in us abides in all humanity, so that we honor that in all of life. I'm so glad that I was born of a mother. Are you glad too? Yes. I am so glad that I have known the love and nurture of my mother and all of the other marvelous mothers who have been my social and spiritual caregivers. Aren't you? I am so glad that there is an alternative to war and violence. Aren't you? Yes. I am so glad that God's love abides in us and that mom's love endures. Aren't you? Yes. Amen.